The land down under has never been easier to reach. United Airlines has more flights between the U.S. and Australia than any other U.S. airline, so you can fly nonstop to destinations like Sydney, Melbourne, and Brisbane. Explore dazzling cities, savor the very best of Aussie cuisine, and get up close and personal with the wildlife. Who doesn't want to hold a koala? Go to united.com/Australia to book your adventure.
That guy played goalie for Bayern Munich, by the way, in like 1987. Memphis Bladder Pills.
Memphis Bladder Pills.
with just one L.
Yeah,
with
Bladder
just one
Pills,
L. Yeah.
Memphis.
Bladder Pills Memphis with the save by Munich.
I'm going to get you a custom Bayern jersey that says Bladder Pills.
B-L-A-D-R-P-I-L-S. With
yeah, you just watch. You buy that for me, and I'll wear it, and some German dude will go like, ah, you know Bladder Pills, second best goalie ever. To the Shutdown Fullcast. You are listening to the internet's only college football podcast. If you want another one, that's too bad. You don't need one. That's all you need. We got you. We have everything for you, including the greatest tribute possible that you can give somebody, which, as my co-host Jason Kirk knows, that would be what is the greatest tribute one can give someone?
According to the show notes, it's Arby's.
That's correct.
That's what I'm just reading the assigned text, Spencer.
Yes, that is correct. Like great Caesar down the promenade, he hired somebody to just stand behind him in the chariot and go, "We have the meats." Who did? Arby's. Arby's has always had the meats forever.
Is Arby's is a he?
It's brothers. That's what
R&B
stands for. Yeah, a lot of people think it stands for, I'm not kidding, people think it stands for roast beef, but I'm gonna pull it up here. Yeah, it was Forrest and Leroy Raffle, the Raffle brothers, and that's for RB.
Just like
you said Forrest and Leroy, and I say why in this place called FLs, but
I thought you were gonna say Romulus and Remus. Like that to me is like Arby's, two brothers, founding of great empires, same story.
I thought you were going to say rhythm and blues.
I actually thought that was what Ryan was saying. It's like, oh, that is what it stands for, Arby's. It's like the Arby's charts.
I didn't make the roast beef connection until I was fully like 30.
Do you think that's why
I felt like adding that?
Well, like, do you think that they saw their name and thought about, yes, this kind of means Arby. What else? You know, like nominative determinalized their menu based on that. Oh. They were like, oh, we want to start a fish sandwich joint, but
right,
okay.
What would Grandma Jamocha have wanted us to do?
Sell that combination of American dishes that only makes sense, that is the peak of logic, that is inevitable.
Uncle Cheddar, get down here.
And that would be a roast beef sandwich and turnovers. Don't you want that? Isn't that the light thing you want in your belly when you're sitting in a car expending no energy? Is that you want a lot of shaved horse meat with a big turnover just dropped on top of it?
Yeah, because
sure.
Honestly,
what are we supposed to say here?
You're thinking of it in terms of like this car trip will be uncomfortable. I'm thinking of it in terms of if my car breaks down, like in a gully, and I have to live in my car for 4 days. If I have already packed it full of Arby's, like that, I have preppered myself. I have preppered my stomach with roast beef and turnover.
Use Arby's to insulate your home.
Correct.
That's in curly fries. Curly fries, the due date on curly fries, it's like several decades. You can pick one of those up and it'll be cold, yeah, but it still feels somewhat
the
edible.
Due date, you think you have to return curly fries?
there's
that would actually explain some things.
They do have a revenge.
Arby's, America's library.
I think that's why they all, you know, the curly fry itself is a symbol of return, is it not? It's constantly.
Holy shit.
The great Ouroboros.
Strip.
Arby, Ouroboros. Oh, we cracked it.
Welcome to Ouroboroses.
You know, I kind of had this exact thought this week. There's a Wendy's on our block, and one of the marquee signs just says strawberry salad back for you. And every time I drive by it, I'm like, don't you fucking threaten me, Wendy.
Spencer, back for you.
Spencer, would you
like
do
a
our
Dean Koontz Wendy's?
Would you do our listeners a favor and explain why you're bringing up Arby's?
Well, an iconic photo of former South Carolina football coach Steve Spurrier, late of the University of Florida, is of him post SEC media days in a suit, gray suit, red tie, unbuttoned, by the way, upper, like top button unbuttoned, tie loosened, right? Because as befits an entire generation of gentlemen, there was business time when the tie was up and then the tie got loose at least 2 inches to indicate that it was post work, posing at an Arby's, hand extended with wrap around shades, almost blue blocker looking shades. If you remember blue blockers, they're these enormous visored shades, appropriately enough for Steve Spurrier. His arm extended forwards, the right arm with the drink at the soda machine, and a massive thumbs up and grin given of the left arm, giving the satisfaction that one can only give when you have slayed yet another SEC media days and gotten America's original Ouroboros and philosophically magnificent meat joint Arby's. So yeah, him posted up with two players, by the way, in the back, or two, a family in the background. That's what I was referencing, is the iconic Steve Spurrier shot of him at Arby's. Now, why am I talking about this now? Because I'm going to lay two things on you here. Okay. One, Shane Beamer is the coach at South Carolina. I'm guessing at least 80% of you did not know that, because did any of you immediately remember that Shane Beamer was the coach at South Carolina?
No, and that's not why this next photo didn't land for me.
Oh, okay. Okay. Wow. That's interesting. Why didn't it land for you?
Why didn't what land for me?
Well, the photo of Shane Beamer doing the exact same pose, giving the exact same thumbs up at what I hope is the exact same Arby's, with two South Carolina players in the background posing like the bystanders in the original photo.
Players are adorable, first of all.
Yeah, they That's do a great job. Photo.
I couldn't pick Shane Beamer out of a lineup if my life depended on it. We might have an SEC Clay Helton on our hands. Like, I saw the photo and I immediately knew what it's supposed to be referencing, but I didn't know who that guy was.
I think it might go even deeper, because in this photo, the first time I saw it, I said, oh, Brian Harsin's doing a bit. In the shades, Shane Beamer looks like Brian Harsin in Shit. Shades.
Wow.
Is one man coaching both teams?
There's a little bit going on in the fit here where it kind of looks like he's wearing a suit that he borrowed from someone. Which might make you think, had he grown his hair out a little bit longer, oh, Lane Kiffin's doing a bit.
He does have a bit. He does have a very boy at summer camp haircut.
I think we have a Charmander situation. Shane Beamer, Brian Harsin, Lane Kiffin. Lane Kiffin being the Charizard. Who, of course, in the Pokemon show, Charizard is very difficult to wrangle. Like, he's a heavy hitter.
He's a handful.
But my goodness, does Ash get sick of Charizard's shit from time to time.
So what we saw was just Virginia Tech, or not Virginia Tech. See, I did it a fucking again. Mm-hmm. Was South Carolina tweeting out, without context, this photo of Shane Beamer, but with no helpful identifying information. So I was like my honest actual first thought, I was like, is that their SID?
Mm, yeah.
Because I'm looking forward to see it. I might have to bump up my Shane Beamer out of South Carolina by 2024 with a bag estimation, because if we can't pick him out of people potentially associated with South Carolina football, let alone pick him out of the entire rest of his coaching brethren at media days, he might could burrow into the walls. And you know, Frank's taught that man to live above a drop ceiling.
And you know how you do that? You eat one
values.
And you make it Arby's. You eat it late at night when nobody sees you, and then you go back in the drop ceiling.
Mm-hmm. All right, this might be a hit. This might be more of a hit D pod conversation, but Spencer and I have had this argument not too long ago. And I'm going to extend my my drive-through apostasy from Zaxby's over into Arby's.
Mm-hmm.
I will say an argument for Arby's when on a long, long, long interstate road trip and limited to drive-through is that the stuff that you get in your sandwich is at least identifiably meat. You don't know what the fuck is in a burger.
Yeah.
I'll give it that.
Like Arby's, at least it's meat.
I mean, people our age grew up with, like, I don't know what Arby's did with their branding when we were growing up, because mm-hmm. everyone shits on it. I don't understand it. Like you say, it is food. It is clearly food, which I know mm-hmm. it's a low bar to clear in the fast food industry, but yeah. it's food. And, like, you know,
and it's it's Burger King.
The turkey wrap. That's some food ass food right there.
Yeah.
It's not bad for you. It doesn't taste bad. Like, I have no real problem with Arby's, and it is quite possible to eat quite decently there.
Arby's also reliably, and the one big change, this is if you're doing a Highlights magazine edition of this photo, the one big thing that's changed is Steve Spurrier was in some sort of Pepsi-based wormhole. I don't know where the fuck he would have had to stop after media days to get a Pepsi-based Arby's, but Arby's, in my experience, reliably has Mellow Yellow at the fountain.
I think
back when we could go inside the Arby's.
I think the problem Arby's
faces. That's the saddest thing I've ever said.
Back in the halcyon days of going inside
back when
the
I could
Arby's.
Enter the Arby's. But not for any of the usual reasons I can't enter the Arby's.
When I was
right. Not because of the court
but
order.
But for all the Stephen King based reasons I can't enter the Arby's.
I think the main problem with Arby's is that roast beef is such a specific thing to center your brand around. That, like, there's a reason people are like, Arby's has good curly fries, or Arby's has, like, a good chicken wrap or whatever. That's all true. But the central item, the thing that they decided this is going to be our thing, is roast beef. And roast beef just has a weird place in American culture. Like, it's not a thing people eat all that often. It's not a thing people make all that often. It's, like, weird. It's that kind of, like, in between where it's like fancy but also kind of gross at the same time. It's like 80s or 60s fancy, I should say.
Yeah, if I gave you the cue of summer,
like,
Arby should
sell aspic, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, jello, like jello with meat in it. Yeah, like, you're totally right.
Like
Arby's Wigglers.
That's why I think they've pivoted to
I made a hand gesture there and I'm so happy y'all can't see it.
Terrifying.
I mean, listeners, that's at home, I think all these people had to see it here on the call.
I think that's why they pivoted to, we have the meats. Don't worry about which one.
We have other meats.
Don't get bogged down. Right. We have multiple kinds of meats. Because for a while in the 90s, the only direction Arby's could go was, would you like more roast beef? And would you like shit on top of it? That's it. At one point, they were like, how would you like a full pound of roast beef with moist,
with, like,
cheddar
movie
sauce
theater
all over it?
Cheese sauce on,
yes!
Like,
no,
a ladle of cheese, a spurt of cheese. I remember, yeah, this was our rotation at our household was like, yeah, we're going to get, you know, Pizza Hut once a week. We're going to get Taco Bell once a week. We're going to get the Arby's 5 for $5 once a week. And it's like,
yeah, sure.
We weren't living large, but, like, I don't know. Me and my little sister, we were happy with that.
Yeah.
I admire Arby's so much for actually exploring the envelope of how much beef Americans will not eat. They finally hit that envelope. They pushed it and they pushed it. And it was finally somewhere like, would you like a 2 pound meat sandwich? Like, no, this is too much meat.
But, like, Jason's earlier point, the point at which they started expanding horizontally and not vertically was like, Arby's was a frequent stop for us in the 90s because, like, when I had to pick my brother up from football practice and I was on my way home from, like, ballet or whatever, he would always want to go to Arby's because that is where he could get the most protein crammed into his body for his allowance.
Sure.
And at the time,
Arby's,
had, like,
fuck lettuce.
At the time, they had some kind of, like, very, I remember being entirely acceptable, like, very 90s, like, chicken salad sandwich, sure, situation. And Yeah, I don't actually know where the great Arby's disconnect came, but I don't ever remember it being like particularly standout-ish in the pantheon of fast foods as a 90s baby.
I will say this. Arby's is, I would argue, the fast food that most feels like as you're eating it, you're going to choke and die. Every bite of an Arby's roast beef sandwich has that moment of like, oh God, this is the one.
So,
this is
how- Ryan, that's what the mellow yellow is for.
And the cheese sauce.
That's what the Jamocha shake is for, to subdue,
Grandma
to subdue
Jamocha
the sandwich.
Would be ashamed of you right now.
There's an old Thor where Loki is disguised as a sandwich and somebody's about to eat it and fists pop out from the side and start walloping him, right? And that's what every Arby's sandwich
Arby's,
is.
We have the fists.
Yeah, it's going to punch back. Okay, so get ready.
Spencer, can I ask you a question that you're not prepared for?
Please.
So the other day you tweeted a tweet about genes based cage fighting, I think mm-hmm. it was.
Mm-hmm.
And it made me wonder this. What is the sport that if somebody showed up to it wearing jeans, you would think, oh shit, they must be very good at this. And what is the sport that if somebody showed up wearing jeans, you would think, oh shit, they must be very bad at this?
Wimbledon.
Which one?
Yeah, which one?
The first.
Wimbledon. All right, so I'm assuming it's white jeans because it's Wimbledon.
Oh, of course. White jeans, red trainers.
Okay, so if somebody showed up in white jeans at Wimbledon, you would think, holy shit, they must be fucking awesome at tennis.
We're screwed.
I don't actually know that Andre Agassi didn't do this.
I can't say okay. it. Yeah.
Okay.
No.
What's the polar?
All right, sorry to jump in. I just had that immediate.
That's a good answer. That's a
Y'all
very
please,
good answer.
Spencer, please continue.
If I saw an Olympic swimmer roll up in a pair of jeans, like big, I don't mean little ones, I mean like
Junkos.
The bag, if he showed up in Junkos, right? If you showed up in a pair of Junkos and got up on the podium, I'd be like, get out of the pool, it's already over.
I have a sub question. How did you decide which vowel to add after the J?
Yeah, I always thought it was Junkos.
I have no idea.
Junkos.
Yeah, I've heard it Junkos as well.
Junkos, okay. I like Junkos because you get to say.
Let's
Junkos.
Go Junkos.
Junkos, that's better.
Made by John
what
Boys.
About Junkos? Because there's clearly something wrong with your pants.
Junkos are off-brand Junkos.
Hands off this my Junkos.
This is a legitimate.
We have the jinx.
Who
wait,
is?
Wait. Could we be seeing a brand resurrection for Junkos as Olympic training devices? Like instead of the weights that divers use to help them tread water.
Just
like it's a resistance parachute for your legs.
Right, right.
Okay, so my question is, Katie Ledecky is routinely finishing races half the pool ahead of her competition.
Correct.
Could she beat the rest of her competition on a global level wearing an enormous pair of Junkos?
No, I think the answer is no. It's just too hard. It's too much. Now the question is, could she beat one of us? Let's take
easily.
Spencer out. Spencer can't swim. That's not fair.
Very slow. But
Spencer can walk.
That's true.
Along the edge of the pool.
Sure. Yeah, I think like an average swimmer, I think an average swimmer wearing a bathing suit would get smoked by Katie Ledecky wearing Junkos.
Now, the one where if somebody pulls up wearing jeans
yeah.
to this particular athletic event, and I am
if
certain...
Spencer has a jet ski and Kaylee Ledecky is wearing Junkos.
Ledecky by a length.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I'm going to crash that jet ski.
Yeah.
It's more hindrance than help, I think.
Yeah, it really is.
Don't be fooled.
The sport where if somebody rolls up with a pair of jeans... And then I have to say,
oh wait, by that same token, water polo. Like what if the USC men's team comes out in fucking jeans?
I would be terrified the whole time that they were gonna drown. Like that would be
no
too
man
much
they're
for
gonna
me.
Drown you
yeah
I yeah, think maybe. If it's USC those guys
drown
gonna,
fit
they're gonna come out in khakis and polos. I think yeah. all water polo players have to wear polos now.
Yes,
yeah, that's actually correct. What it was named for, the shirt.
Yeah.
Now, as we all know,
the sport.
Every podcast is somebody's first podcast. So let's explain the history of water polo.
The sport where I go, oh, that person's going to die. Any skiing event, especially cross country.
No,
oh,
yeah. man. Have
That's
you
what
ever
they're
seen?
For.
Yeah.
You
man.
Haven't been skiing enough, man. You haven't seen enough people skiing in jeans. It's a scene, especially out west.
I
know that there's a certain level of expertise granted the Western and or West Virginian skier who shows up in jeans. that person's going through all three catch fences on the third turn of the downhill. That's what's happening.
Why are you looking at me?
That person is blowing out both ACLs and flying off the mountain. That is what's going
to
happen.
We need to do winter sports disasters so I can talk about falling off a ski lift because I was having a spitting contest.
It sounds like you won, though. The sport where jeans most improves your aptitude, of course, would be pro wrestling. Stone Cold, John Cena.
Yeah, I rest my case.
I think cycling is the one where if somebody showed up in jeans, I'd be like, oh, my God. Just the chafing alone. Like, I would be most worried for that person. I would not think they were great at what they were.
That's about. An android. Like, I would think that this is a person whose lower body has been replaced with some sort of mechanical situation.
Start a fire.
I would like one of the lesser basketball teams in the Olympics this year to play the United States.
Like USA?
Canada.
Yes.
Oh. Canada or Australia. Come out and play in jeans.
Yes. I think that would be great to just go out and be like, we have no illusions of winning a
Dunkos.
But we're going to wear jeans so you can't feel good about it.
That's like Eastern Europeans showing up in like Target jeans that they found smoking.
I want to watch bronze medal. I want to watch some former Yugoslav Republic, pick one. I want to watch them compete in the warm-ups that they never take off because they're like tracksuit.
Right.
Like we just beat you in an Adidas tracksuit.
Oh, yeah, there, track, hurdles.
Oh, God.
Oh, the stretching.
Hear me out.
Yeah.
Combination of rhythmic gymnastics and hurdles where like the jeans are your prop. And you have to get them to flare out over the hurdle.
You're describing
I'm basically inventing people dressage.
Okay. I don't think that's okay.
People
chase.
And I don't have a good reason for this. It's entirely psychological.
Well, now, people chase is what we should call the most dangerous game when we finally get it to the Olympics.
If somebody showed up for fencing wearing jeans, I'd be like, they're really fucking good at fencing.
That's Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Trust me, they're really fucking good at fencing.
A kickboxer in jeans, yes. Like, don't be fooled, buddy. Yes. Those are actionable real world skills.
Yeah. Like some Benedict Cumberbatch looking dude rolls up to the fencing Olympics.
Like, I guess what I'm saying is we should have a whole, I know this is the thought we're all having as the Olympics are going super well right before they get going. We should have the Olympics in normal athletic wear, and we should have jeans Olympics.
Jeans Olympics.
Where we do all of the same events, but you do them in jeans just to see how that goes.
What about bodybuilding?
This is no more of a grotesque.
Bodybuilding?
Bodybuilding in jeans would be fucking great.
Well, because you're graded on how do you look. We can't see.
What if your
jeans
graded
are in
on
the
like-
way?
I want to see how good those jeans are.
Yeah, 100%. Turn around. Let's see those jeans.
Yes. Pop out of them jeans.
And instead of the national anthem, we replace it with those jeans.
Yes.
I was just thinking, oh, I've got it. I was just thinking of somebody running.
Hands over hearts. And those jeans.
Hands over butts.
Yeah.
Yes. Excuse me.
I was just thinking of somebody running a full triathlon in a pair of heavy ass jeans. Swimming, biking, and running.
Yeah.
But like that final leg.
Swimming first, and then running.
Ryan is right in that it's totally situational because biathlete in jeans, that is terrifying.
That's terrifying. But triathlete, I want you to imagine the last stretch, exposed, sun-streaked road, some dude shirtless just in the bib, but with the jeans dragging on him. And you hear the announcer go, yeah, you know, Tom, I think those jeans are really killing him right now.
I really want the swimming and then the running. Cause like, that's a fucking nightmare in any garment.
Like, we have all experienced the thing of trying to put on jeans after swimming, right? Like jeans in a post lake situation or a sweaty locker room. And what if you have to put on the jeans? Like, even if you were just swimming normally and then you had to put on a pair of jeans and run?
Fresh jeans.
Well, sure, because you wouldn't want to wear your
Olympics.
Yeah.
You wouldn't want to wear your swimming jeans to run. You'd need to switch to your running jeans.
That's how I'd prep for my UFC fight, by the way, in the locker room beforehand. Somebody would go, let me get your legs. And they'd get my legs wet. And they'd go, put on these jeans.
Put
and
on
be
these
like, jeans. Fight of my life!
Oiling your legs so you can get the tightest jeans.
I have three words. Jeans high dive. Because you're going to watch somebody do the high dive, and then you're going to watch them climb the high dive with wet jeans on.
I'm so heavy. That's the JNCOs one, because like it might form a parachute, and then you're wrestling against, you know, breeze.
The noise.
You've gone sideways.
Reorient. It would sound like you dropped a car into the water.
You've blown into the crowd.
You hate to see that.
I was trying to think of
it was minimal splash at least.
I was trying to think of ones where like I'm pretty sure they already compete in jeans, like curling and archery. And then I realized there's one that doesn't match at all, but for some reason inspires an inexplicable terror in me. Like, Ryan, you're right. This creates like a lizard brain level fear. If I saw somebody like step up to the starting line and get ready for, I have two here, and get ready for either speed skating or trampoline.
Yep.
Like, especially if the trampoliner is a dude.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
You're not coming back from that.
I am assuming whoever is speed skating in jeans is also smoking while doing it.
In Dutch. They're Dutch. They could totally do that.
Rowing combines like the constant motion of cycling with the water element.
Somebody would just quit due to testicle torque, right? They would just be like, he hit the squeeze, boys. He's out.
Okay, we're actually gonna this is something I wanted to talk about later in the show. But Thomas D. Kaiser on Twitter raised the notion of what might happen if we were asked to counter program the Olympics. And I think he just answered that question. So thank you, Thomas. But the tweet itself, I thought, was very thought provoking, because he said they won't cancel it this late, but I'd fucking laugh my ass off if NBC has to come up with 19 days of alternate content.
Jeans Welcome Olympics. To the 2020 Summer Jeans Olympiad.
2020.
Sorry,
Ryan.
Sorry, apologize.
Yeah, so if that happens, NBC, we have solved your problems for you. We will just need a large
As
supply.
Usual.
Just buy one mall and we'll be good. Just
and genuine. We like Holly mentioned, we will need genuine
to perform the opening ceremonies.
Okay, wait, sorry, last one, jeans Olympics, because I forgot it was an Olympic sport now. Surfing.
Love it. Like Point Break proves jeans surfing is the ultimate surfing. Also crime.
Yeah.
Also, I think you suffer a large demerit. Oh, the waves took his jeans.
Yep.
I would feel a lot safer personally doing a luge or a bobsled type situation.
It's protective.
Jeans.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would do that in just like a jean onesie. Oh, that might actually be a value add.
Jeans ice hockey. Fuck, the 80s vibes on that are
Canada.
Can you imagine? Again, we go back to like the Eastern Bloc. If like the Slovak women's team comes out and they're all wearing like carpenter cargo pants.
Yeah. I just put my stick.
I would lay down and quit. On
Holly,
the ice.
I think you just invented the winter version. So the summer our summer Olympics are jeans. Mm. Winter is cargs. All sports and cargo.
Cargs.
You can wear cargo shorts. You can wear cargo shorts if you want to decrease the fabric, but your legs are going
to
be a little
But you
chilly.
Have to level the playing field by having hammer loops on both sides of your body that your opponent can grab in any sport.
Hammers.
It's just very hard for anybody to tell me that we are bad at business when we have just developed the Jean Olympics. So easy.
We've made a lot of business models this year.
Yeah.
A full 100-year plan for the Olympics right here.
It's been a while since I've sung it, so I think it's time, because speaking of business. Podcast business. What's that business? Podcast business. It's a business and it's wearing jeans. Oh god, they're so hot. I can't breathe. I don't want to be here. I want to die.
You might.
Wear that tiger's jeans,
bitch.
We got a birthday in the house. It's the full cat's
Where
birthday.
Is he?
I don't know.
I can't hear
Naturally,
him.
We need him around. He's not here when we want him.
No.
And he'll be here the minute we try to do a tender.
He's
quiet.
Not always here when you call.
I just heard the bell. So the full cat and his sister Podcat Ain't Played Nobody are 11 today. Congratulations to them both. And if you would like to celebrate this, I can think personally of no better way than visiting preownedairboats.com and purchasing a fine coffee or other beverage mug with the full cat's face on it. Lovingly made for you by Ryan Nanny. Jason and Spencer, I'm going to throw a little bit of a curveball at you because while the two of you were enjoying a fine weekend with your families in various parts of our great nation, Ryan had a little business incident over the weekend with the full cast store that I bore witness to. And no, it's not the misprinted Mid-South Airlines mugs. It's something different. And I'm going to have Ryan tell you guys about our little weekend business adventure with the full cast merch store, again, available at preownedairboats.com.
I'm going to see if I can find the exact email that I received.
All right. So I'm going to run it back a little bit.
I've got it right here. I'm good.
Oh, welcome. Right. Welcome.
This is an email I received from a listener named Scott.
And I want to emphasize that this is not a bit. This is real.
No.
This is a real thing.
I thought it was the cat's
birthday.
This is the email. Hello, Shutdown Full Store. I am disappointed to report that the Mid-South Airlines mug I ordered from the full store was not delivered. Instead, I received a bottle of some type of prescription pills that appear to be intended for a lady who lives in Memphis. This reader lives in Oxford, Mississippi. The pills and a receipt were in the package with the Shutdown Full Store return address on the label. I attached the photos of the package and its contents below. Please tell me what I should do to fix this mix-up. The pills.
First of all, we checked. The pills are bladder medication.
They are bladder medication. Yep. And indeed, this listener received through some baffling capitalist expression of the full cast hate some lady's bladder pills instead of a coffee mug.
Memphis bladder pills.
I don't know how this happened. We are working on alleviating the situation by providing our friend Scott a new mug because again he received prescription pills for somebody else. And Scott,
which I didn't even know it was a thing we could order. I didn't know that was possible.
I missed
the pharma portal on the Shutdown Full Store.
I guess what I'm saying is think of your purchase on the full store as kind of a random object generator. Are you most likely going to get a sticker, a postcard, a mug, something like that that's on the store?
Statistically, yes. So far.
But you might get pills. That's what I'm telling you.
Add to each item, likeliest item is... All we have on sale are loot boxes.
We haven't even had this store open for a week, and within that time frame, somebody already got shipped somebody else's pills
from Memphis.
This woman in Memphis has received a mug that makes no sense. I would assume.
Her name's Carol. Hi, Carol. Sorry about this.
Sorry for what's happened.
And we don't know if this was a USPS mislabeling, if there was a barcode that was misscanned, or if our fulfiller is sharing like a shipping facility with somebody else. All by way of saying, if y'all get something weird with our return address on it, take pictures and send it to us because we kind of want to see where this goes.
Please, unless it's narcotics.
I will also say, not to narc them out, when I told the fulfiller that this had happened, their first response was, oh, we'll send them a new mug. And I was like, and what are the prescription pills?
Also, you never sent them an old mug, but proceed.
There was a gun in my mug. Oh, we'll send you a new mug.
It also happened in Memphis.
The universe has given me so many signs that I should stop doing this show and everything associated with it, and I refuse to listen.
No, okay, no. I'm going to ask you, this is non-rhetorical.
Yeah.
What is bad about what has just happened? Nothing. For us.
Yeah.
Sure.
Sorry about Carol's bladder.
You're right.
They'll fix Carol's situation. I hope so. Just look at it. Look, they're sending a new mug, so they're sending new pills as well, right?
I hope so. I don't know.
That is a, That guy played goalie for Bayern Munich, by the way, in like 1987. Memphis Bladder Pills. Memphis Bladder Pills.
with just one L.
Yeah, with
Bladder
just one L.
Pills,
yeah.
Memphis.
Bladder Pills Memphis with the save by Munich.
I'm gonna get you a custom Bayern jersey that says Bladder Pills.
B O A D R P I L S with.
Yeah, you just watch. You buy that for me, and I'll wear it. And some German dude will go like, "Ah, you know Bladder Pills, second best goalie ever."
Anyway, welcome to our business meeting. I wanted you guys to find out about this where I could see both of your faces.
Wow.
I just.
But Ryan called. You were gone. Ryan calls me. He's like, it's like there's a fuck up from the full cast store, and it wasn't even my fault.
Mm-hmm. Hey, listen, pre-owned airboats.com. Go ahead, get yourself a mug. Who knows?
Maybe,
what might show up.
Maybe a mug. Almost statistically, you're likely to get what you ordered.
Yep. I would also.
This is about as effective a healthcare plan as anyone has. The full cast.
This is maybe the greatest possible demonstration of us never having told a joke on this show.
That one.
Yeah.
I wanted to go ahead also while we're tooting our own horn. I believe we have crossed the 3 million listens mark from since we switched to IMG Learfield. Woo!
That is 3 million downloads in less than 1 year. Can be bought. If you're interested in that.
Yeah. So thanks everybody. Especially, hey, thank you, server. We don't get thank you enough.
The numerology at this moment, which is on the evening of early evening of Tuesday, July 20th, is 3,033,111.
Wow. Ooh, I like that's solid.
So that's yeah. One trinity for each of us, and then an additional trinity at the end.
Mm-hmm.
That's another 3.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I believe we also have various Patreon subscriptions.
We got a lot of, it's enough time that we've spent enough time making up a lot of business models, and now we finally made some businesses.
Mm-hmm.
And I say finally because you and I were last as usual, but congrats to us.
We were on time.
Spencer, by the time y'all get this episode, you should be able, if you are subscribed at 26nix.com, you should be able to read a delightful piece from Spencer on Shohei Ohtani, who is a baseball player that I'm aware of.
Yeah, he hits dingers, and that's all that matters. Just whops the hell out of the ball. Just an absolute slammer. And you can subscribe to that at Channel 6. Link is in my bio on Twitter. Holly's bio is at channel-6.ghost.io. It is subscription. You got to pay, and you should, because it's good shit. Speaking of paying for good shit, Jason, I'm feeling the faith. I'm feeling the fire.
we got a fresh VBS episode up in the last week, did we not?
Yeah, we did. So first on the Patreon front, let us remind the listener of the Moon Crew Patreon, which leads to the Discord, where basically everything that we do and several of our friends do, we gather there to commune and discuss. It'll be extra, extra fun when sports get back rolling. I say, acknowledging there are sports happening right now, but you know, we're talking about Jeans Olympics and college football. But really, people in there talk about sports all day long, like so much soccer talk and car talk, so forth. But yeah, that's $3 a month for a social network that I would say is better than Twitter. I like barely ever look at Twitter these days, and it's pretty awesome, I gotta say. Also, the Vacation Bible School podcast, we have a Patreon of our own. We have started a monthly book club on there. We gather on Zoom, maybe Discord, but there are invites in there. We just read Jesus and John Wayne by Kristen Cobes Dumais, a book about how toxic Christian masculinity has been going for a century, and basically explains everything about this country. Then we're going to do a little palate cleanser, reading something a little lighter and happier next time around. There's some other stuff on that Patreon as well. A few exclusive episodes to go along with our main canon free episodes. I think those are my only two Patreons.
Can I encourage people to also check out the Split Zone Duo Patreon? Listen.
Those plucky kids.
Listen, content. I'm not here to talk about the content. What I am here to talk about is how
that's good, because it's inexcusable.
They're getting close to 1,000 patrons. I need them to hit that number so that from then on Alex and Richard can be out of touch media elites who don't understand what the rest of us are going are dealing with and are not really in tune with college football. Then it'll just
y'all
be like,
Godfrey keeps having kids, so y'all better subscribe to this thing.
Here's these New York DC fat cats coming in trying to tell you about college football when they're, you know, just living off their tens of thousands of dollars. So please go subscribe to SCD so we can make that a reality. Thank you.
That's pretty good. Being a fat cat sounds like a pretty good life.
Work for Garfield.
I will only describe fat cats as actual fat cats. Look at this fat cat with his plush fur on his little snuggle tree that he sleeps in all day.
It's much better than being a lean cat.
Dreaming of rats.
We have a lean cat. She's outside like 23 hours a day. She like pops in for like a snack and a snuggle, and then she's back to work. We see her.
You got a barn like, cat.
She goes all over the neighborhood. We'll see her like two streets over that way. That like she's claimed the whole neighborhood. She's tiny and paranoid, so nothing is ever going to catch her.
So that's one plus. She takes murder on the road. That's how aggressive she is.
Yeah, murder. I mean, so one word in defense of lean cats is they can escape anything, I guess.
That's fair. That's a good point.
That and I think we've covered everything there is to cover as far as internal podcast business. This is a very successful segment. Well done.
We have a lot of business.
We do. It's a lot of business, y'all. We got peanut butter and jelly sandwiches to buy and make. For the kids. We got, you know, treats to make for fat cats. Everybody. No shame in that.
It's me sending a fat cat high five to Cerber through the chat.
I assume Spencer has just revealed that his budget process consists of peanut butter, jelly, bread, give up.
Business model.
Give up on
Please
all
help
of the
me, my
budget
family
items.
Is dying.
Yeah.
Spencer makes a solid dad lunch, actually.
I am master of the dad lunch.
I've been eating lunch with the nephews while we just in like the like
what's your platonic
the short
idea?
Order the short order shit. Like he's always got like a quality fruit and veggie chop side.
Fruit, veggie chop side, sandwich done with like you gotta put a little something extra on the sandwich, right? Mm-hmm. It's a peanut butter and jelly. You toast it, right?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
You use the good jelly. You make sure that it's cut on the diagonal if they like that, right? You position it just so on the plate so it doesn't look haphazard. It looks like somebody cared. To make you your low effort lunch, okay?
Sure.
It's what you wanted. You wanted right. a low effort lunch, but I gave it to you with the utmost care and precision. That's what the dad lunch.
The airlines won't do that. The airlines won't do that.
No way. You don't want a LaGuardia lunch. That to me, lunch is a failure if it looks like something you'd eat at LaGuardia. Maybe eating at LaGuardia is the mistake in the first place.
LaGuardia.
LaGuardia existing.
Going anywhere that LaGuardia either connects to in any way.
Yeah. I know somebody who was on a flight this week and came back for SEC Media Days, which is, please imagine Sam Pittman in paradise. Imagine the Arkansas coach, robust, probably a good ruddy, you know, the color of a cured ham out there on the beach, zero sunscreen on, not a care in the world, and posting that, yeah. He found the swimming hogs of the Bahamas.
Man, that looks soothing as hell. I would love to go swim with some pigs.
The swimming hogs, you know, I think what the pigs do is they swim out to the boats and get
shallow
treats.
Shallow water, some paddle pigs.
They're, by the way, of course, hogs being indestructible creatures, excellent swimmers. Buoyant and superb swimmers who kind of just turn the nose up like a snorkel and just go for it. Like, as if they weren't unkillable enough. They can just swim for like miles through the water.
Yeah.
They go out and
when the floods come, the pigs will survive.
Pigs will survive everything, right? They'll survive everything except an SEC West schedule. Am I right?
It's hurtful.
It's me. Yeah. But with the hashtag turn that damn jukebox on, which I'm pretty sure this is the only time that this has been used. The only person to use it is Sam Pittman or an Arkansas guy. So that's their official hashtag. They are beautiful, robust looking hogs, though. Honestly, these hogs look healthier and better taken care of than a lot of people I know.
Sam Pittman is in this picture. He's hard to see, but he's there. and his skin appears to be made of footballs.
No,
that's what we want to see. That's what we like. Skin.
You know, he is the ultimate coach because he is actually made of football.
Yeah.
Literally a football
coach
guy.
Sam Pigskin.
Like, I think this is what, if you took the Ninja Turtles shells off.
Oh,
them,
see, I recognize the wife to the left of him as a person because she's got a hat on.
Sure.
But he just kind of looks like a large statue.
He could be mistaken for like a rock
or a graven idol.
Yes.
Well,
yes.
I think on first viewing, you think, oh, Arkansas has a new commitment. So he went on Google and he typed pigs near beach and he
Big
posted.
Beach.
No, that's not what happened.
No.
Yeah, no.
He swam with the pigs, which I just looked up how the pigs got there. And the official story from the Bahamas itself is that maybe there was a shipwreck.
Let's talk about the Bahamas writing Muppet Treasure Island into actual human history.
That's right.
Sometimes they dress up in costumes and sing Cabin Fever.
This boat
Maybe?
Had pigs
Who knows?
And Tim Curry.
This makes me realize that when Arkansas has a spread offense, what they're using is pigs in space.
Fuck.
They really were.
Not that they ever do that, but...
I got nothing. My mind's just blown.
The other thing somebody brought to our attention, which I believe deserves that attention, is that Cisco revealed...
This was Broken Caveman.
Yes, Broken Caveman.
On Twitter, who asked for this breakdown.
Yeah, we're going to talk about it, because when asked about the real-life inspiration for the Thong Song, which, to my mind, may be a top 10 American song ever in the American Songbook. It's like Cole Porter, Willie Nelson.
Why just American?
And Cisco. It's right there.
And KV sent us a clip of, I believe this was 2017. Oh, we're coming up on the anniversary. Mm-hmm. Okay, we're coming up on the anniversary. This is an InStyle in 2017. When Claire Stern asked, is there a real life inspiration behind the Thong Song?
And then Cisco, giving the inspiration, said, and man, what a scene setter. It was a cold winter's night. It laughs.
Well, that's because you haven't let the dragon out.
I don't remember if it was wintertime or not. What? But I had a date with a young lady, and I must have done something right over the course of dinner, because I got treated to a more intimate gathering later on. We started to get all hot and heavy. She got undressed, and lo and behold, I see something I'd never seen before. This article of clothing. It was one of the most glorious things I'd ever seen in my life. I was like, what are you wearing? And she said, oh, this old thing? It's a thong. I think that was when my hair turned blonde. It was like in the Ten Commandments when Moses went to go see the burning bush and came back down and his head was silver. I don't remember the rest of the night because I was under the spell of said material. I was shell-shocked. Sounds like a transformative experience. More Cisco. She already had the cake, but she put the icing on it with the thong. That cemented it. I immediately went home to start writing the song and called my boys up. I saw something yesterday. Gather around, I'll tell you. Please, I just want to take a second and point out that Cisco saw a butt and then called everybody to tell him he had seen a butt.
He called a meeting.
Cisco had seen a butt before.
Can you get on a Zoom call so we can discuss the butt?
I assume he's younger when this happened, right?
Yes.
Okay. Do you gentlemen remember at what age you became cognizant of thongs?
Well, there was a song about them.
Yeah, I suspect it was honestly, not prior
oh, wow.
to the thong song.
Oh, has Cisco moved the generational needle on this for millennials?
Yes.
I think Cisco actually had a big bang effect where I can't remember a universe before them.
Interesting.
Like Cisco happened, and now I can't remember them not existing.
I think I was probably, what year did the song come out? Like
97 or so?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So
I've certainly never seen one in real life by then.
98, 99 is what it says.
Everybody leaned in and I told them there's this new underwear girls are wearing and it's called a thong. It was like the Fellowship of the Ring. Everybody
this
was like,
where it ties into the show.
We got to go out and hunt for the one thong. They literally left in that moment. Like that's the break. Like
okay.
They all just left.
So according to this, what Cisco is describing, perhaps in his, I'm not sure his Tolkien aptitude, perhaps in his mind, what he is describing is Frodo's fellowship. But hunting for the ring is the task of the Nazgul, sent by Sauron. So what we have here is Witch King Sisko leading the hunt for the ring. Who fells the Witch King, of course, is Eowyn, and a thong, I assume, beneath her battle armor, because...
Mm-hmm. Because what's the whole point of her felling the Witch King? She to... am no man.
Yes, yeah. To fulfill the prophecy.
Of... Not that dudes can't wear thongs.
Well, sure. As Sisko reveals in this interview himself, mm-hmm. There was some challenge for some show. He had to wear a mankini, and he said, yes, I did it. So... Sisko himself approves of the male thong.
It's an excellent time for the full cat to show up.
As the defeated Witch King does as well, beneath his scary black cloak. There is
this also tracks because the thong song charted number one in the US and in the UK on the R&B charts. The only other country where it hit number one, New Zealand.
See?
There we go. Because what is the purpose of donning a thong but to slay?
It only hit 20 in Italy, which shows you how aggressively horny Italy is.
Yeah, it's not even a Tuesday song.
I don't want to listen to this.
We would play this at the Starbucks.
Jesus, what is it? My first communion?
Hey, no, I noodle. No, I noodle. I just imagine the top 10 Italian songs on any Italian pop chart are all contain the word nude. All
yes,
of them.
Correct. Ryan, can you confirm?
I will not. I refuse to do this.
The conclusion of the story is, a few days later, my cousin Kid burst through the door. I thought there was a fire or somebody got hit by a car. And he was like, I was with this girl last night. Guess what she gave me? And I quote, that thong, the thong, thong, thong. We burst out laughing. Then we laughed all the way to the bank. For the
she
record.
Gave it to him.
I as a trophy?
A memento?
Here you go.
You know what I bet they did? I bet they just traded, right?
Oh, like soccer players?
Like exchanging jerseys.
Yeah. Good game.
I will give you these boxer shorts.
They're Tommy Hilfigers, I guarantee. If it was
Joe
97,
Boxer?
Right?
Oh, this is Joe
if they're
Boxer.
Cisco, they're like Boxer gold 10, okay. Lace boxers. Come on now.
I have Drew Hill boxers.
These are Rush Hour boxers.
For pre-owned airboats, we have Drew Hill boxers available. If you order them, you'll receive a Mid-South Airlines mug, unfortunately.
Can we make Broken Arrow the movie boxers?
Yes.
Thong Song did not win the Grammy for Best Male R&B Vocal Performance.
Well, clearly it should have won the Oscar, is the point, because it's a visual.
It was beaten by D'Angelo. Untitled. Well, so
okay. That's fair.
Yeah.
That's fair. Although I will tell you,
as long as it's being kept in the extended full cast universe.
Yeah, I can't really think of a vocal performance that I could describe as ready to fight God more than the thong song. Sisko sings it like he is about to, like an anime theme where they're about to fight an entire planet. That's the way Sisko sings that song. I have never been more convinced of anyone's passion for anything. Like, they're like, oh, yeah, man. Like, what about Pavarotti doing like Nessa Dorma? And I'm like, second place.
So
second
place
to Sisko's passion for the thong.
He describes the experience as like Moses coming down from Sinai. So when Moses was on Sinai, of course, God says, all right, you're going to take a look at me for real. You're going to see me for real. You can't look at my face, though. So I'm going to turn around. So I think Sisko was correct that Moses did see that thong, 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 thong up there on Mount Sinai. Saw God's butt cheeks. It's in the Bible. Look it up.
Well,
this is a good time.
Think about the lyrics, right? The lyrics that do not consist of the word thong. There's a couple of them. You know, this thing right here, right, is letting all the ladies know, but also everybody else. You know, letting all the ladies know what guys talk about, because, you know, there were no lady apostles.
So we're saying it's now biblically accurate that the Lord
I'm
was
mixing
wearing
testaments
a thong.
Here, and I'm sorry. I need more vacation Bible school.
There's ladies preach all throughout the Bible. The problem is men wrote
Moses,
it, but continue, right?
Well, Moses,
but
Moses
what are the
goes
what
mind.
Are the commandments, after all, but a direction towards the finer things in life?
Sure.
As in the opening stanza of the thong song.
So now I'm picturing the Lord meeting Moses, showing him his thong, and also showing him his comfy home field apparel sweatshirt.
There you go. God, nail the dismount.
Because you know what? You're saying, hey, home field apparel didn't exist in pre-biblical times. Through God, all things are possible.
Yeah.
How can you say God wasn't wearing the light blue Tulane hoodie when he met with Moses.
How is God going to stay snugly before the sun, asshole?
That's right. That's right.
Well, time is an illusion, as Einstein taught us, and which, you know, the God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if it's created today, yes, God has it back then.
You know else is the same yesterday, today, and forever?
Tennessee
football.
My baby football.
Blue Marquette hoodie after
Tennessee football. Year after year.
She was having such a good time.
She's mad. She's so mad. But it's relevant. You can't get mad because it's relevant.
But that's why I'm going to take it. As a Tennessee native, okay. I will go ahead and tell everybody that, yes, the next in a sweep of SEC East teams who have finally seen the light and signed on to home field apparel is the University of Tennessee Volunteers.
I have an exciting note from the website. the Tennessee is already added in the shop dropdown. You click on it, it says 404 page not found. That makes sense because they're not actually available yet. However, what a metaphor for Tennessee Volunteers football. They're kind of here, but not really.
Look.
And also, trouble in Atlanta.
Also, yeah. 404, no. 4-4, that's kind of a 500 record.
Yeah.
4-4 in SEC. Actually, that'd be pretty good. 4-4 in SEC play.
As I was fucking saying, the other thing that is the same yesterday, today, and forever is my baby blue Marquette hoodie after it's been through the wash 10 or 12 times.
Yeah.
Still snugly.
Extremely comfortable.
Ryan.
Sorry. But Holly, you and I have seen a little preview of what's coming out for the Tennessee stuff.
You did. We spoke of this a few weeks ago on the show. The Lady Vol shirt in this collection is the one that Ryan texted me as I was driving back from a rafting trip, and I almost drove off the road. Yeah. Don't look at your phone when you're driving unless it involves home field apparel. You'll be protected in the event of any motor vehicular crashes by the snuggliness of the sweatshirt fleece surrounding you. Ryan is on this call and he's my attorney, so I can say that.
That's right. Homefieldairbag.com. You can get 20% off your first purchase at Homefield Apparel when you use offer code FULLCAST. They don't just have Tennessee. They've got Kentucky. They've got Vanderbilt. They've got Missouri.
They yeah, don't... all the lesser luminaries of the SEC East.
If you want to be, if you want to be an SEC East weirdo, is what I'm saying. If you want to be a confusing SEC East fan, Homefield Apparel has you hooked up. You can even you could probably colorably claim San Diego State is in the SEC East, right?
Yeah, you're going to need a red and black.
Actually, about to be supplanted as my favorite charcoal crew neck. And when y'all see this Tennessee sweatshirt that drops on Saturday, you will understand what I mean.
I mean, I think you're going to need a red and black SEC East team in there at some point. Like,
sure.
Imagine being the last SEC East team to join the home field collective.
What's talk shameful, about getting a 404.
So yeah, the SEC
be like
East
going
teams,
40 years between national titles.
Tennessee, Kentucky, Vanderbilt, Missouri, San Diego State, UCF. That's the SEC East right there.
Speaking of which, did y'all see Kirby today at Media Days talking about the vaccine?
Oh no.
I got a quote from Tony Barnhart here saying that Kirby said 85% of his team is fully vaccinated and we are not going to stop here. For once, we are hoping that Georgia finishes the goddamn drill on this one. Also, really surprised to see Kirby submitting to basic medical care. Like,
as long as they don't touch his hair. That's the main thing.
No danger there.
This is for me.
This is for me and my good friend, Fantastic Sam.
Where do you want the needle? Not in my hair. That's not my hair. Don't touch my hair.
They told Kirby, they were like, hey man, you need to take a shot. And he's like, no, we're running it. We're running it.
Run it in my arm.
We'd never want to take a shot downfield.
I did see this, and it is my favorite quote for Media Day so far.
That was a really good joke, and it was about butts, and you just trampled on it.
That was good.
Teamwork!
Acorns.com.
Hey, I was going to wait for a segue.
Folks,
if you'd like to take a shot at retiring before age 200, then you might want to look into acorns.com/fullcast. The website at which you can go to begin establishing your own savings thing with a $5 booster pack. Boy, that'll go far. by the time you retire at age 200. Who knows how many? $5 will turn into a lot over the next 100 something years. So how it works is nickels and dimes off your purchases go into your little investment pile, and then market magic happens. And you can also set it to manually put money in there. Mine is over, good gracious, it's over $800.
Shit.
I could retire right now for several days.
I got to check my, let's check my Acorns account. I haven't done this on the show in a minute.
As I am on the family plan, I will go ahead and give you the update on how much. Oh my gosh.
I got $451.63
in
my Acorn, in my moderately aggressive Acorns portfolio.
My younger son has somehow now leapt a grand total of $50. $50 what? Ahead.
What?
Yeah. Yeah. He's now left.
What is happening?
Embezzlement. The kid's just really good at embezzlement. We all have to have a skill.
It's amazing what happens when you give an 8-year-old unfettered access to your smartphone.
We need
look,
to chart
they make
this.
Money.
Can we chart this to see if it's growing exponentially? Because I feel like it is. Like
it, we actually should,
like it's
yeah.
like the Industrial Revolution Earth temperature chart, right? At this point, but in a month from now, it's going to be $7,000 ahead. How'd that happen? And no one's doing anything about it. Just runaway rampant.
As far as I know, the best investment by percentage that I should give you in terms of growth would be to just hand my 8-year-old son your money. What's he going to do with it? I don't know, but it just, the money line keeps going up.
Spencer's younger son to the moon.
That's easy. Take that, Bezos. I'm going to the moon.
Little diamond hands.
Yeah, so acorns.com family plan. Get one of your own, and you too can watch and see which one of your children is best at financial crimes.
I'm trying to imagine your child rapping as like a wealthy rapper, and it's like diamonds on my neck, diamonds on my grill. What is your favorite airport? Can I tell you about the great Brazilian air disaster? Yeah.
And how many people did it kill?
Yeah. There. Bang.
Yes.
Record it.
What we are.
Oh, so
anyway, it's been like 75 minutes, so let's get around to the show.
We have
let's conclude pre-show. Sperber, you want to play the theme song right
there? Sure.
Time for podcast business 2.
Gene's Olympics was worth it, all right? Gene's Olympics was important.
No, it was.
I'm going.
This is way better than what we were going to do, which is pretend we're at media days.
I'm going to explain the mother boxes now. This will take 45 minutes.
Oh, shit, yes. God damn it.
Mother box.
Oh, it's not fair to use that voice when we all have headphones on.
So the SEC Media Days questions, we asked the listeners what you wanted asked at SEC Media Days.
Which, to be clear, we're not at.
No,
Server's
we're not
at that. And all we know about that is that his internet doesn't work. So far, we're doing better. He
and,
is waiting like a Muppet, though, which helps.
And his room appears to have two beds. Very sexy.
Oh, pro hand in the dirt
sexy.
Pot. No, this
so
was,
he can have a
this
roommate.
Was a lengthy... No, this was a lengthy hand in the dirt argument over the pro move of getting double beds on the road. So you have like a bed to put all your stuff on.
Yes, 100%. Or
Felder calls it an eating bed.
That's the activity room. And then you go to your bedroom across the hall.
Right. Well, but more importantly, then you throw all the pillows from the stuff bed onto the sleeping bed. And
wow.
You have like a little fort.
Oh, no,
I would do the opposite. I'm not a big pillows fan, so I would distribute pillows freely.
Server is now redistributing.
There he's
go.
Doing this live on the podcast.
Expertly
he is redistributing
done. Still
pillows
want to go,
from one
still
bed
want
to the
go.
Other.
Got it.
Server's got
yeah,
his shirt tucked into his pants and everything, man. What a pro.
Yeah.
The pro move for me would be to have two beds, keep your luggage on the rack or on the table, and then in the middle of the night when things get a little bit hot, because I'm a hot sleeper. So when things get a little bit hot, just pop into the cold bed over there. I got a cold one I can pop right over there. Bed number 2. I've done that.
This sounds like you're something that is taken out of the oven and then immediately chilled, like a pie.
Or an aspic. No, you don't put an aspic in the oven.
Or maybe like when you blanch vegetables and you're like, plunge it into an ice bath.
Yeah, we got a cold shock this cauliflower.
I'm like a, like a steak. You got to let me rest.
Feeling great this morning. Got a good blanch.
do kind of look like you've been parboiled.
Thank you. But we asked you what you wanted.
Sous vide Spencer Hall.
Woo pig, sous vide.
That's every day. It's every day here.
It's hot, y'all.
I did want to. I picked this one first because it is to me the essence of the simple question that you actually would want asked, but that is just silly enough for us to make stuff up off of. And it is this. It is from Fago Unchained. It says, would be fascinated to know how each coach takes their steak. Thank you. Thank you for a short, simple, well-composed question. Mainly because
answer this about Shane Beamer because we don't know where he is or what he looks like.
Nope. Absolutely no clue. Also, I do know he eats meat, though, but I'm not sure what kind of meat because he eats at Arby's.
Neither is he because, again, see there, I just fell into the Arby's slander trap again for no reason.
I believe Kirby Smart. That's well done. There is no way that man does not take his meat near boiled. Just.
Is there a chance they're all either rare or scalded?
I mean, who eats it rare? That's the thing. Not medium rare, because medium rare is like, you know, they teach you, like, eat your steak medium rare. Eat your steak medium rare.
Who's so they?
Just, they, the Council of Men. Like, they're just like, hey, you should eat your steak medium rare. That's the manly thing to do. Whereas if you're not just taking directions from the Council of Dumb Men, you're like, well, I should try all of them and then see which one I like, as opposed to, no. Get a martini and you get a steak.
Do any of you understand what he's talking about?
In a clumsy way, yes. I get what he is saying about how there is like a certain masculine oriented pressure to be like, listen, if your steak's not like, your steak should look like the Queen of Hearts in there. God damn it.
Yeah.
I do get that.
No, I see. I get my steak preferences from my mother, who my grandfather used to tease by saying like, Nancy, I'll just wave yours over the grill a couple times because she likes like rare. So yeah. I'm unaware of steak doneness as a masculine construct, I guess.
Well, it's bloody.
Yeah.
So on the one hand, you have the bloody beef and like football guys could like that. On the other, you have,
it's not cooked.
It's been through a lot of stuff and that's manly too, right? Like medium, we don't do things medium here at this program, right?
We want to be rare. Mullen. We want to be rare like champions are.
Dan Mullen is going to want a brick of steak, I think.
But we also want to do things well done. Oh, this is confusing.
Exactly. Yeah, no, this is very confusing for the football guy.
I'm going to run down the list of SEC coaches one at a time. Mm-hmm. And you guys are going to, because I suspect Jason is right. And we have like a bloody or brick crowd here. Because what are these guys if not living in extreme? So I'm going to go down the list of the coaches and you guys each give me your snap decision on brick or bloody. How's that?
Okay.
All right.
Sam Pittman, Arkansas Razorbacks. Ryan.
Bloody.
Jason.
Bloody.
Spencer.
Yeah, rare.
All right. Auburn Tigers, we're going to serpentine. Jason.
Brian Harsin, he's from way out there. So I'm going to go bloody as well.
That's a lot of state country, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Spencer.
Bloody.
Ryan.
I agree. Yeah, bloody.
All right. Dan Mullen, Spencer.
Brick.
Ryan.
Brick.
Okay.
Brick.
That man eats like that man. Pizza.
Yeah, no. He has, like, in addition to being from New
Serber
England.
Server thought I was making it up when I said the Sbarros in the Hoover Galleria was Dan Mullen's Sbarro.
No, it's brick, and I guarantee you he's like, it takes longer to chew, and that's better value.
The Sbarro's gone? Oh, what pillars of our civilization remain?
You're fine.
Because he's only there for 4 days a year.
Now Dan Mullen's on the hot seat.
Yeah, Dan Mullen.
She likes,
Dan Mullen's from
because New, that's how he gets well done.
That's right.
He's from New England. And also, he's been sleep deprived for 35 years going, you know. So, yeah, he can't taste anything.
All right. Kirby Smart.
Brick.
Ooh. Okay. This one could go one of two ways. But again, I suspect it's an extreme. Mark Stoops.
He seems like a steakhouse dude to me.
Yeah.
And I just say that because he's kind of ruddy. He just seems like the kind of guy's like, I don't want to.
Lexington is kind of Indianapolis-y.
Yeah.
In that it is a steakhouse.
And he's from Ohio,
kind of town,
so I'm gonna go bloody. I think he's a bloody guy.
I think it's small steak, but bloody. Yes.
Yeah.
I'm leaning brick, but
okay.
I am also leaning brick.
Huh. Okay.
Like I feel like he's like,
hey, Mark Stoops, take us to a steakhouse. Prove it.
Serber, have y'all interviewed Mark Stoops yet?
Oh, she dared ask Cerber a question over the Wi-Fi.
It's like a no.
Yeah.
Edo, bloody or brick?
Bloody.
This might be the hardest one.
Yeah.
No, because they give the tiger a raw steak, and so he's like, I'm not gonna. I'm as tough as that tiger.
I'm not worthy of the bloody beef.
But I mean, Louisianans like they like to blackened stuff, and this could. I don't know. I mean, like bloody fits the vibe more, but there are complications.
All right, here's one without complications. Here's two in a row without complications. Kiffin,
chicken fingers.
Yeah, he's the guy. He's the guy who, when it goes around the table, they're like, "I want the porterhouse." Well, I want the porterhouse, and Kiffin's like, "Oh, I'd like the chicken.
Oh, yeah, let's get the nachos."
Yeah. For the table? No.
Do you guys have the tacos?
The coconut shrimp appetizer? Let me just get like five of those.
Do you guys have tater tots?
Yeah. You guys have the tater skins?
I want dessert first.
He might be like.
Can she bring him to me? That girl over there? Could she be the one? And you transfer me to her table? I'm going to sit at the bar.
Swinging his little legs.
Yeah. You know, he's a California dude too, but I bet he finds. The guy who finds the.
What says more California than a TGI Friday's attitude?
Yeah, that's it. I want it my way. So go ahead, give me the kids meal.
I want the loaded potato skins.
Yeah,
still have those.
You know what I mean.
He's also the coach most likely to have an embarrassing vegan face, and I don't think being vegan's embarrassing.
But
I just
like
mean,
a vegan, as in like vaguely white supremacist wellness cult.
I
like,
mean, kind
of like vegan, as in for one day to impress a woman. And
but vocally, he'll be like, "Yeah, I'm vegan." And 3 days later, he'll be eating a hamburger, and you're like,
vocally,
"What happened?"
Vocally, like, "I am vegan to impress you."
Oh yeah,
yes,
that's how he says it.
No, but what if he thinks vegan is a verb? Like, "Hey man, are you vegan today?"
I'm vegan all day.
Oh, I ain't nothing like, but pizza for breakfast, salad. So I'm vegan it for lunch. I'm having a broccoli with my burger.
Lane actually strikes me as one of those guys who like has an uncanny ability to tell when you've given him like cauliflower rice.
So Lane
like,
talked
this shit.
Lane talked about eating at media days. He said he apparently says he's lost weight, or people said he's lost weight. I don't know which. And
yeah, that's how we knew he has a girlfriend. People he does the Fulmer thing.
And they asked.
So he's like, passing along secondhand. If people told me I lost weight,
he,
I don't know.
He says he's just stopped. He says he stopped eating and he won't start again until his defense starts playing well.
Oh shit!
Oh. He's gonna get thin.
Oh wow! Gonna die. So Gypsy thin. Cursed himself.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Oh, damn it!
Congratulations, Lane. I actually didn't think you had that in you.
I did think he could do to himself. So.
Gypsy curse?
Yeah. Accidental okay. Self gypsy curse.
He's trying to set up a Roku remote and he just does it.
He cheated on the gypsy, I think.
That's right. That's right. Yes.
I'd also like to share a tidbit on Edo from attending SEC Media Days. Edo asked for a piece of gum from the pack we had on our table, chewed it twice, then spit it out and put it in the wrapper on the table.
Is that how he brushes his teeth?
I was guessing.
That's it. Now it's my gum. Nobody else gets
this
gum.
This is another list of questions I want to ask every coach. There's that one reporter who's writing about one thing, so they ask the same coach like the same question. Mm-hmm. You have to hear it 14 goddamn times. Coach, what do you think gum is for?
Yeah.
Hey, coach, what do you think gum is made of? That's the question I want the coach's staff to answer.
Yeah.
Oh, also adding. To this story, he took two pieces for the road.
Oh, he's marking territory with this.
No, he's trying to make sure he can get back.
Yeah, he
to
can
his
get back.
Room.
I found my gumball. I need to find the next one.
Look, convention centers are large and they all look alike on the inside. He's just making sure he can find his way back.
Now that this bar is closed, I can't find anything here. Yes, I get hungry. Star. 1 minute
really
from now.
About that. All right, who's the next coach we have to stake judge?
Fortunately, it's Mike Leach, so it shouldn't take long.
Bloody fire is invented by the government.
Yeah,
bloody. That's right.
I still can't believe this guy's name is Elijah Drinkwitz.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. What did they eat on the Oregon Trail?
It's brick.
That's
brick.
A bloody name, but look at the man. He looks like that. That's a brick eating man.
That's a brick.
Yeah. Covered with cheese.
That's
covered
a bloody ass cheese. Name, but.
Oh. All right. Shane Beamer, whoever that is.
Roast beef.
Yeah, I think we're pretty on record as
asked
roast beef.
Answered.
Yeah,
you're correct. Josh Heupel.
That's a tough one, man. That's tough. but
Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking his origins may betray a beef taste.
Bloody.
But
I'm gonna say bloody, but he sends it back and is like, whoa.
I think he's picking up brick tendencies as he ages.
Yeah.
Isn't the Peyton restaurant, is that a steakhouse?
I don't know.
The one that I worked in, yeah.
I'm guessing it leans brick in terms of clientele. So
Oh no, wait, I know. Chop steak.
Yeah.
This is a hamburger steak, man.
Yep.
Because it's like, I really want a burger, but I know that I should be fancier than this, but I'm not.
Maybe a chicken fried.
All right. Jimbo, how do the rich live?
Frick. I need 17 people to cook it for me.
I hate tuna. I don't beef for the poor people.
Hey, broke boys.
Y'all get this
out of the water.
I eat bottlenose dolphin. That's how rich I am.
These weirdos around here, they eat cow.
What's that French? Oh, Ortolan.
I'm over here eating Ortolan. I got rare birds, stranded wine.
Oh,
I had them clone the California condor so that I could eat it.
I made one of them living octopuses. I don't even like it. I ordered it, sent it back.
I eat human flesh. Stop me.
My own. buy more.
I would actually totally buy either Jimbo or Mike Leach only eating octopus and dolphins because they only eat animals that might be smarter than we are.
Sure. Yeah.
I don't trust
absorb
them.
Their powers.
Yeah. That's how you get the smarts.
Also, I got an ink sack now. Look at me.
Broke boy. Sign of my own checks.
He's mad at the ref. Mad at the ref. And
Just squirts away.
What can you do if you're the official? I think you have to throw the flag at that point.
I can't see the flag. You have soiled the official. Because there's a cloud ink now. Look at that.
I can't say anything. Under this cloud ink.
That's how he propels himself down the field like he has to squirt to move.
Back and forth, leaving a trail. Instead of a get back coach, there's a guy with a mop.
Yeah. Put him in a jar for his own good. He's intelligent enough to open it from the inside.
They wheel him around in a glass cube.
Jimbo Fisher ink sack. Why does tattoo finish that on Google?
Yep.
You're going to get a Jimbo tap?
No results for Jimbo Fisher ink sack. Well, not now.
Not yet. Give it time.
Right. Not yet.
Right. Clark Lee. Didn't see you down there.
Brick.
I think bloody.
He's a fancy lad, isn't he?
I don't. I could see him going either way.
All right. Let's look at the career. Oh, this guy played at Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
Brick.
What's your
but
case?
Spent time in South Dakota.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I think that time at Notre Dame.
Notre Dame.
All right, Brick.
Yeah, Brick. It switched him over to Brick.
I might also make him a hamburger steak guy. Okay, Brick, but he asks for like mushrooms on it, right?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I need lots of put the lobster on there, right? A little surf and turf for old
instead
Clark.
Instead of salad, can I get lobster?
Jesus Christ, Clark Lee is 11 months younger than or 10 months younger than me. Help me onto this ice flow.
You got much better hair.
Thank you. I agree.
Have we gone through all of our coaches there?
No, that concludes our first answer from SEC Media Days. We are 90 minutes into the program.
Did we hit Saban? Because Saban has been around since before.
Oh, shit. How did I skip him?
He's been around since before cooking was invented.
Didn't see him
down
there.
That's the way he likes it. And also, cooking takes time. We don't like things that take time.
Was he below my sight line?
Yeah.
Perhaps.
Saban brings his food to the steakhouse. He's like, that's fine. Y'all order whatever you want.
I skipped him at the very start. I started with Sam Pittman because I had pigs on the brain.
He brings his turkey salad to the steakhouse.
Put this on a plate.
Y'all talk about whatever bullshit you're going to talk about. I'll be gone in 4 minutes and 8 seconds.
I'll pay the corking fee for this oatmeal cream pie. Just put it on the plate.
Cut the crusts off.
Got to go recruit.
That goddamn dinner cost me 26 minutes of recruiting.
I will skip and go to this question from John Kurtz, which I asked this question because I want this one answer. All right.
This is great. I would actually ask this every day.
Coach, I'm curious. You must have some players that are good at football. Can you just talk about that? That's first of all, great question. Like, great question without the answer prompt that I want. I want one coach to just be up there and be like, no, no, we don't have a single good player. I'm on this microphone.
This is actually where I really miss Spurrier.
Yeah, I would like, well, I want one person show up. Just one good player. That's all I want. I don't have good players.
Shane Beamer says, no, I'm the head football coach at the University of South Carolina. So, so I like this as the first question because most coaches do the filibuster thing where they're like, oh, fuck, I got to talk for half an hour. Well, I'll show them. I'll spend 20 minutes reciting my roster. So you listen to that for 20 minutes, get the injury status and the GPA and I'm real proud of our quarterback. You made some handcrafted butterflies for his mom and so on and so forth. And then your first question is, coach, do you have any football players? Didn't I just... Okay, let me repeat my monologue and then I'm out of here.
Yeah, I would refuse to answer. Like, I would claim that it was sort of like
it's illegal for you
trade
to ask
secrets
me that.
Or whatever. Yes,
that's a HIPAA violation.
That's right.
No. A HIPAA violation is what Jimbo is committing when he goes hunting.
But I can get away with it. You just pay enough money, they'll let you shoot anything.
A HIPAA is a lady hippo. It costs more to shoot them.
That's a hippus. All right, you want to round out with one more, because I got one more that we should probably ask all of them.
I have that one more. I do want to ask that one, which is from at Kivbot. Yeah,
or we could do what Spencer wants to do.
Was that the one you wanted?
I'll ask this one. Sure.
Okay, yeah.
Sorry, at Kivbot. When are your children's birthdays?
Fuck, this is a mean one.
That's a HIPAA violation.
That's a FERPA violation. Fathers really...
Here, there's a way to make this question even meaner.
Birth order?
No. When are your children's birthdays, and what did you get them for their last birthday?
No. When are your children's birthdays, and how old are they? Or add the grade.
They'll just be throwing darts at that point. They won't.
Oh shit!
Not a goddamn clue.
I think they can give you like, well, we got the one in elementary school. We got the other real proud of college. We got the college age.
Yeah.
We got the tall one. Smells terrible.
Like I want the.
Of course, there's the boy. Now, you talk about a real guy. This fella.
I want to get them talking about them long enough to where they fall into like film cadence.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, yeah, you know, she's not walking yet, but we like her wingspan. You know, like, we like where it's at.
Mostly it's all about decision making, and it's not there right now. It's just not there with the youngest, the middle, and the other one. It's not there.
However many other there are.
talking about
look like frantically scanning the crowd for his wife, who's like four.
Right.
Four.
No, his wife's got the hands folded. Like,
yeah.
Oh, Spencer.
Spencer's left us.
Yeah, he dropped his headphone. You know that screws in, right, to the headset? You could just screw it in.
Keep secrets from Spencer on three.
Okay, one, two, three. Keep
secrets. Ha, 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 we're all laughing. Ha, 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 ha. Yeah. He doesn't know what we're laughing about.
Nope. Yeah.
Hey, when are your kids' birthdays?
I do know them. Podcast, but I do know them. I'll write them down for you just to show I know.
I don't know when they are.
Yeah. I do know when they are. I'm fortunate. And by the way, like one factor that
wait, I have
like,
the month. I think I can name the month.
No. I know their birthdays. And that's like,
you,
that is
you
one
seem
of those
confident.
It is. And that is one of those things where you go, okay, I cannot forget that. I cannot. Which to tell you this, I remember both of my kids' birthdays for real. I do not forget them. I forgot my mom's birthday last year.
By how much? Oh. Like, was it like next day or was it like next month?
It was the next week. I missed it by a week.
Wow.
Now it's better because I did not forget that her birthday happened. I had the wrong date.
Look, I think what you have to do in that circumstance is show up at her house naked, covered in petroleum jelly, and insist that you have been time traveling. And this is the only way you could get back to our timeline.
What?
What if you had a coma? You're in a coma.
That's I mean, there are records of that is the problem. Like somebody's going
to maybe
say,
at the
like,
doctors you go to, but I don't know. Maybe some of us don't trust institutions as much as you
I
do.
I tell you, the scientists.
You had a home coma?
Yeah, it's a stay-at-home.
It's the only organic way you can do it.
Yeah. That's what's in that box.
Sure. All right.
My brother once called me and my younger brother, and we were grown adults when this happened, like out of college, grown adults, and to ask me when my mom's birthday, and I told him it was tomorrow. It was the next day. I said, okay. And he hung up and he forgot the next day.
I'm just saying.
Which is the closest we've ever cut it.
If you show up nude, covered in petroleum jelly, grab your mother by the shoulders and scream, what year is it? The last thing she's going to think about is that you forgot her birthday last week.
This is me and this is my mother, Ryan. Why wouldn't this be something that could happen anyway? Right? Like, damn. My mom would not be surprised. She'd be like, what are you, like, is this a bit? What's going
and
on?
And it is a bit. That's the thing. And
yeah, then you say, it was. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
I spent a whole month preparing this for you.
That's right.
Also, what is the time travel has to happen nude? I bet that doesn't. I bet the engineers are just lining people up for that. And they're like, you got to be nude for this.
Got to be nude. You got to eat a lot of chili. What? What? You got to eat like a distending amount of chili is what I'm telling you.
A trail of shit throughout space time.
You have to take a really weird posture, like make a strange face and take a stress position so that when you pop up in that world, you're naked and going, ah!
Right. Just squat. Go ahead and squat. Bend over, please. We're going to transport you now.
Step into the machine, which has a twister board on the bottom. Pay no attention to that. Now take your right hand, put it on the red. And
Ryan, do you remember the voice that accompanied the credits, the opening credit song to the 90s television program Sliders?
The one that goes Sliders, that
sliders,
one?
Sliders, Sliders.
Yeah. Yep, sliders. Slide naked and greased throughout time.
Just like we enter the world.